Hello and welcome to Kingdom Living Now podcast. This is Kenny Hebert, your host, and I'm with my friend Bob Peralta, who pastors a church in Russell. How you doing, Bob?
I'm good. And again, thanks again for having me here. You mentioned pastor a church up in Russell. So it's actually called Hilltown Community Church. We gather together on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. And so anyone who's listening to this is welcome to join us up there in Russell, Massachusetts.
Yeah. What's the address?
55 Main Street.
55 Main Street.
Thank you. Yeah. And we'd love to have you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I've joined them a few times, and they asked me to preach one time. And it's a good group of people there that are, they're small, but they're hungry. And so it's good to be with them. And I always enjoy every time we're there. There's such a hospitality to the people there when I came that time. The very first time. I mean, at least a third, if not more. Come, how are you doing? Good to see you this morning. Where are you from? And really genuine, just welcoming. And so that was nice to experience.
Yeah, thank you for that, Kenny. And we actually have been doing this study on Wednesday nights. So this is so exciting because as we're talking about it on the podcast, we've actually been going through all of the processes on Wednesday nights. And so we've been meeting together and growing together and experiencing God together and whatever he has to say and do for us as a local church body.
Yes. Yeah. And so by hearing, if you've been listening to us, we're talking about the experiencing God study. We've gone through the main point of it is living a life, understanding that God's always at work with we're all around us, and he's inviting us to join him in that work. He's empowered us by his Spirit. That's his heart, is to reach out beyond us. We know Christ, but there's others still that don't know him yet, and there's a desire for him to have us work with him, just like we would want to see our children do things with us. We invite him into the things we're trying to do in this activity of being together, this partnership, this coalition. Laboring with our own children. God's like that with us. And so, it's learning that, and we talked about learning to discern his voice when he's speaking, how he's speaking to us. And that's a part of being a follower of Christ. Is Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. And so we start to learn that, and we start to hear God, and we start to respond to him. We talked about what that looks like, and we talked about responding. Sometimes there's a crisis of faith or a crisis of belief. What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? Am I going to respond in this moment when God's doing this work here and I'm invited in? And then we talked about it often requires necessary life adjustments.
Yes.
Lots of those sometimes are really hard. And so we were there. We ended with that last episode talking about that. But we want to talk about today is the principle or the realities. They use that term. And also the experience of God studies is authored by Henry Blackaby and his son. What's his son's name?
Richard and his grandson Michael.
Michael. So they're the authors of this. And this what we're sharing is from the study that Bob's doing with their church up there in Russell. And so the last reality he talks about is experiencing God personally through obedience as he works through you. And that's like as we live out those first six and we start to actually have a moment where we're experiencing God in that moment. And Bob has a testimony to share about what that looks like.
Yeah, thanks. That's a perfect lead-in. So this is awesome because this just happened last night in our Bible study, and it's just experiencing God personally through obedience as he works through you. So that's the seventh reality. And I'll just say that again, experiencing God personally through obedience as he works through you. And, you know, we've been talking in the podcast, not everything has to be this great big assignment piece that you really, have this major crisis of belief over. Sometimes it's simply just sharing your faith.
Yeah.
And so what happened last night was really awesome is one of the woman in our group, she was just the day before at a store, and she was talking to the woman behind the counter, and she just felt God just, motivate her to share her faith and ask the woman if she knows God, if she knows who Jesus is and Jesus as her Savior, and only to find out that the woman is currently experiencing a health issue. And the woman in our church, she just offered her the opportunity to come to church and join us on Sunday morning, and maybe the church, as a church body, could help her out in some way in her crisis of her health crisis. And so that was really awesome to just hear what she had did. So she stepped out in faith. She shared her faith. And then in that, after our study was over last night, one of the other ladies had to go to the same store. And this woman was working again behind the counter. And she heard her name and she said, "Oh, like we were just... I just heard about you tonight, and you have a health issue and stuff." And so she got to engage her as well and have a conversation with her, and again, offered her as a church body to, you know, help her out in her need, right? Because that's what the church is all about.
Right.
Yeah. And so, so it was really awesome because both of these women from the church got to have God experiences in the moment, in real time, because they were obedient as this reality, you know, asked for, you know, so God worked through them and they experienced God in the moment.
Yeah.
And so it was really cool. And then this morning, just only to find out that this all took place, you know, last night. And so it was just really exciting, I think, for me as the pastor and then probably for the church as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah.
To say, oh, wow. Like we as the church body got to experience God in this.
Yeah. Yeah, so experiencing God is not going to church and singing a great song. That's a good experience. We encounter God personally in those moments and intimacy. But it's also experiencing working with Him and like your partner. Like He's here in this moment with me doing this and having this sense of, I guess there's like this overwhelming sense of joy that you partnered with God. That you have when those experiences happen.
Exactly, right. Which just makes you want more.
Right.
Right. You're like, oh, wow, like I just seen God work in me right in this moment. And it just brings excitement. And then you want to do it again.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All right, Lord, like what's next?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me think of a testimony from when we did prayer, tag seal with a prayer booth at our house. And we used to bring people from our church there to watch and helpfully get them to engage in being a part of it too. And I was talking to a woman that had visited tag seal and she wanted me to pray for her. And so I asked one of the ladies to come out from the garage. They were in there. I used to ask them, like, you see me talking to somebody? At least be in there praying for me for the moment.
Mm.
And so she came out. She was one like, I don't know if I could ever do that. And so I got her out there, and we're talking with the lady some more. She joined me in praying for her. And I kind of walked away from it. And she left her with. And she just started engaging with us, kept talking with the woman, encouraging her. And she walked away, came ever afterward, and she's like, can I do that again?
Yes.
This is the reality. She experienced God was in that moment and being there. And experiencing our salvation is great. Experiencing worshiping Him is great. Being in a community and fellowshipping together is great. And so is also being a part of God's plan as you're actually touching someone that's never even heard about Jesus. Or has been opposed to it even, and then also that moment's there that God's in there, and you know it, and you walk away and like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's it. The wow factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a time of celebration. I think of like the disciples when they came back to Jesus and like even the demons are subject to us. And He's like, okay, yeah, that's good to be excited about that, but be more excited that your name's written down. And so it's okay to be excited about doing the ministry part, but also remember it's not us doing it, it's God doing it through us.
Amen.
And celebrate your own salvation too.
Amen.
So that's a cool thing. But you know, one thing we didn't mention last time, it was about like in the crisis part, was like some of the steps. Let's review those steps that there's like the actions that we require to get there. So you can hear us talking about and even listen to the previous episodes, but you're like, what's really kind of like quickly, what's the steps? Like what's happening in those moments? Like the first one was what surrendering your will, right? You see, you're like, you know, you sense, you're like, okay, God, this is happening, God. You know, it's a moment, and it's like it's the surrendering will. Surrendering your will is the first thing. What's after that?
Obeying what you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, surrendering my own will, and just even to go to last night, you know, this woman. is just in this little bit of this, hey, I'm feeling like God wants me to talk to this person, mm-hmm. right? And so I get over the fear and I surrender my will to his will.
Yep.
And that's the only way I'm going to experience him is, yep. is surrender that, right? And so obeying what you know, right? Act on what you've already studied in the Bible, right? Yep. So we've been going through all of this for the last 10 weeks or so with the church. Mm-hmm. And so they're learning, they're understanding. It's about stepping out in faith.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what you take with you. You know what? In the moment, you feel a little fearful, but God already has things that's put in you because you've been studying. You've been studying his word. You've been praying with the body, and you've had interactions. And so you take that, even though you don't necessarily understand that that's necessarily with you.
Yeah.
But you're taking that with you out into his work.
Yeah.
And that's where the Holy Spirit just kind of motivates you and gives you what things to say.
Yeah. And next is acting by faith. It's just stepping out, just stepping out and trusting that he's going to provide what you need in that moment. You know, you don't necessarily think that I'm going to act in faith, but it's, you're doing that. And once you sit in there, you start to obey. The reality is you're trusting in that moment that God's going to provide those things, what you need, what you need to say. And sometimes we think, well, we've got to say so much. No, just be real. You know,
right. Be real. That's the biggest thing. And I would say to that point, right, so you invited that woman to come out and pray with you, right? And so I just see that almost like as an icebreaker, right?
Yeah.
She acted in faith. She accepted your invitation, yep. right? And then you actually were able to step back. And then kind of goes to the next point is that she was able to take action.
Yeah.
Right? So she now, like, okay, the ice was broken.
Yeah.
She had this scene. She was excited now. Yeah. And now she was able to move into the scenario. And then she was able to take over and have a conversation one-on-one with this other woman who yes. probably, you know, you stepping back, needed to hear from this woman that you invited into the scenario. Yeah,
that's right. And then there's like just in general and living this out, this Christ of faith is there's some things of just live by biblical commands. Love one another. Right? You know, be kind to one another. Right. Carry one another's burdens. You know, pray for one another. There's just these basic commands. If we live this way in our relationship with God and with others outside of ourself, that we're going to be able to step into those things. And sometimes we're stepping into them that we're not even realizing we're doing that. Like, we're just connecting. We say hi to somebody at a cashier at the thing, and next thing you know, the conversation starts. We didn't start to think like we're going to say something to her.
Right.
But it unfolds. It
just happened naturally.
So it's right. like by living out the commands of relational, how we're supposed to relate to people and treat people, or even like showing justice, love, and mercy. I think of Jesus, he says he saw someone and moved with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's living that way too. It's like seeing people, not just like, yeah, I saw that person go by the street. Yeah. No,
right.
Seeing people, like they're human. They're another person. There's someone God cares about. It's like seeing people that way mm-hmm. and having this compassion. And when you see something happening, like the woman hears about the woman having the health issue. She's in that moment. She's a part of that. It's being moved with compassion to like, how are you doing? You know, reaching out to her and actually extending a hand of help to her. And so it's like, those are things like, it's not just like, oh, I got to take these steps to make that happen. No, these are things you live with first, and, you know, living out with our relationship with God. And they're all part of it. And giving thanks in every circumstance is like, sometimes it's just a little bit you share.
Right.
Sometimes it's just hello. You know, beginning giving thanks. And sometimes it's someone might get real mad at you. And, you know, and argue with you. You don't need to argue back, but it's like, give thanks. God, okay, whatever you're doing here, I responded to you. I'm leaving it in your hands. I give you thanks for the circumstances. And it's not like like maybe that's another thing that let people know. Sometimes it's not like people are really welcoming you in. Maybe we shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But Jesus, people, not everybody welcomed Jesus either.
Yeah. You rejected him plenty of times.
Yeah, and same thing with the disciples. It's going to happen now.
Right.
You know, but rejection is not rejecting you as a person. It's rejecting who you're representing.
That's right.
And it's happened to us at different times. And to me, I've looked at it like somebody, I remember at Texas, someone got mad at me and yelling at me and leaving, and then some of the people from our church are like, well, that's terrible what they're doing. I'm like, no, relax. That was me before I was saved.
Right, right.
I was so antagonistic against Christians. You have no idea. It's like, to me, it's like God's at work. That if he is actually that troubled because of me talking about Jesus with him, something's going on.
Right.
And leave it and let's pray for him.
Right. And that's spiritual warfare.
Right.
Right. They're angry not at you as the person. There's that spiritual realm of things is just driving the argument.
Right.
You know, or the, like, I don't want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
Peace. And you bring up a good point. I mean, that was me too.
Yeah.
I was very easy to just say to somebody, no, I don't want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, you were nicer than me.
And so now that allows me to be humble in that, yeah, right? So yes, when somebody's rejecting what I'm trying to say, I can accept that,
right?
And understand it.
Yeah, it's like people are in so many different places in regards to before coming to Christ, and we may meet them at any point in that journey that God's trying to work through in them to bring them to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I just give thanks. Okay, I had the opportunity to be a part of that process. It doesn't look right for me. I don't understand it. But, you know, God, it's yours, you know, and pray for the person.
Right.
And so these are kind of some of the background things besides the taking the action part and responding and surrendering our will is these kind of living by the commands of God, by being biblical, living, being like Jesus and being having the Father's heart. He said, it says he makes rain to fall on the just and the unjust, right? And so he's kind to those that are just and unjust. That's how we're supposed to be. It doesn't matter what the person's like. And so we give thanks in those moments. So,
right. And because we're all made in his image.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
I mean, right from the Genesis, right? We're all made in his image. So we should look at each other in that way, through his eyes.
Yeah.
That we're made in his image. And so we're no better or no less than somebody else.
Yeah.
And God sees us all, whether we're being the sinner or I don't want to say not sinner because we're all sinners, but you know he wants us to see others the same way he sees others.
And that's why it's important to have it back to the very beginning. We talked about having a relationship with God,
right?
When we start to understand his love, what it really was to us, then our love for people starts to change.
Right.
You know, we love because he first loved us. That's what 1 John tells us. Right. And so when we start to have a relationship with God that is centered around his love for us and our love for him, how we see people completely changes.
And then we were just talking about that last night. And you know, your relationship is the vertical relationship first. You have to have that relationship so tight with God that then your horizontal relationship, those with the people around you, now you can see them the way he sees them.
Yeah.
Your relationship has to be solid with him in order to operate the way that Jesus would want you to operate.
Yes.
And see people the way he sees them. Yeah.
And someone's listening, they're just thinking like, I'm not there yet, so I can't do it. No. We're all different places. This is part of the process, is how to learn to love people too.
Right.
Is make mistakes. It's going to happen, you know, and so you don't maybe say, I don't know God enough. I've only been known Jesus for about a year. You respond. He understands where you're at, and just be faithful to what he's calling you to do. Don't step out into something that's way beyond what you would even think of doing, though that could be God too. but realize that's where you are. It's okay. It's
right.
So remember, me and Bob were believers for 30, 40 years. You know, it's different than someone for a year. But God understands where we're at, and it's part of
the process. Goes back to conversations we've had in the previous episodes where trusting in his ability through you,
yes,
not your abilities.
Right.
So just, you know, if he's moving you in a certain direction, just trust that he's capable of making all things happen.
Yep.
Not so that's where we get in that, I'm fearful because I don't think I can do this. I've only been a Christian for a year, like you just said, right?
Yeah.
Or 6 months or a week. Well, sometimes the joy that comes from a new believer spreads like wildfire. Spread it.
Yes. You were talking earlier before we started recording was about community part of it. You were talking about, you want to talk some about Doc? Talk about that now?
Yeah, that would really, really be great. So last night we were in Unit 10 of our study, and it's really bringing the church in the body as the unity of believers. And so, you know, the previous chapters, yeah, we've talked about the church, but it was kind of more on the individual level of kind of prepping and getting ready and stuff. And so I shared with some of our folks last night a couple of things. And again, I'm taking from Blackaby's study that a church, and again, I'm using his words, right? And a church is uniquely related to Christ as head of the body.
Yeah.
Right. So Christ is the head. It's his church. We are following his leadership. And that actually comes from Ephesians 1. And then Paul again continues on and says, a church is a living body of Christ with many members. So we all work together in unity as a church body. And, you know, Paul goes on in other areas where if one part of the body, like our physical body, is not working properly, then other things either have to compensate or the body just can't function as it should.
Yeah.
And so that's really where he comes into that. And so one of the things I really enjoyed about the next kind of parts that they broke down here is just pulling in everybody, right? And so he says, every member has been placed in the church according to God's plan. And that's to say that, you know, you aren't just there by some random chance.
Right.
You're in that church body because God designed you to be in that church body.
Yeah.
Right. And it goes on, he says, to accomplish his purpose for that place and time. So you have been brought into a church, but a particular church body, because God already has a purpose. You're not aware of it. Maybe the church isn't even aware of it yet. Right. Because God has an activity that he hasn't brought to the church body as a whole yet to kind of reveal what he's going to do. And so that's where he goes on. He says, for that particular place and time. And then he goes on. He says, when God builds a local church, he adds members to the body and then equips them to match the assignment he has for that body. So he, again, like he's bringing in individuals into the church body. He's equipping them. He's raising them up to get ready for the assignment. Just like the military, right?
Yeah.
We don't just send a new soldier off to war, right? We send them. We give them training. We teach them how to do certain things, right? We don't just send them off, right? And so the church does the same thing. This is for God's glory. Yeah. So it's his church. So he's going to equip us the way he feels that it's necessary in order to, yes, to do his assignment.
Yes.
And so I'll just finish up with that little part, and I'll give you back the mic. Right in it, right?
No,
So he builds a local church body in a way that enables it to respond to his activity. Then God accomplishes his purposes through it. And I think if we could really grasp hold of that, you know, so just, okay, we all work together. You do this, you do that, you do that part, you do that part. And he brings us together. And I know all of those things. Right, again, in the military, right, we always practice exercises.
Yeah.
Right, so then I can learn what you're capable of doing, and you can learn what I'm capable of doing in these exercises that makes me aware that, hey, no, now we know how to go outside the church, so to speak, and function the way he would ask us to function.
Yeah. And Bob, you mentioned that, like, being the church members coming together as making up the body, and like being unified and being in unity together.
Yes.
And sometimes there's, I think, a point to be made here in regards to what is real unity and what is not. And sometimes people think because we're in the same building together that we're unified. We all get together on every Sunday and we leave and go back our own way. But if we're not, the unity is much deeper than that. It's relational with the people, and that understanding and caring and upholding and encouraging one another.
That's a great point.
It's not about like well, you're not unified. You come together in a building and you say, oh, okay, we're unified, but you're talking about this one over there, and you're talking about this one over here, and you're angry at this one over here, and it's been like that for 5 years now, and you're not really dealing with it. And like, you don't talk, you don't even say hi to each other. You're not unified.
But you're in the church to worship God, right?
Yeah. So there's that reality that unity goes much deeper than that. And a requirement back to like biblical commands. Is Jesus, when he told them, when he washed their feet and says, love one another, I loved you. He's talking about you're serving each other. and doing what's right to actually make the other one whole.
That's beautiful.
And so I think it's a, we've missed that point sometimes. In our, I've seen situations in regards to church, you probably have too, being a pastor, that like this is not unified. And then people are like, it's time to reconcile. It's time to come together and really forgive and let it go and move forward together. And so, yes, members, we come together, but members, there's a real big responsibility. If we're going to go out and experience God out there, we better be experiencing God with each other, living in unity together, and actually caring about each other, and not just caring about the people outside or just a few people in the church we want to care about, but anybody in the church together. We're on good terms with. We're relationally whole together. Mm. And so I think that's so important, but sometimes it gets lost in this idea, like, we're here together in unity. And even thinking about even like mission, I think like when you're talking about like every member is been put there uniquely by God for a task that God's got already purposed. Like he's a good work for us, already purposed for us way before we ever became Christians, right?
Right,
so he's already prepared it.
Right.
So he puts us in that place. But, and sometimes people might be thinking right away, well, that's outside the church building. No, when we come into church, the first thing we should be coming into, like, God, do you have anything for me to do here for my brothers and sisters?
Amen.
And so my heart should be open, coming in, saying, what do you want me to do here today? How can I help or encourage or build up or strengthen my brothers and sisters here today? And so it's coming with that heart first. So it's like, you're coming here. If you can't do it here, how are you going to do it outside the church? So that's that same thing about unifying together as a people. And so you got something
more here? Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, because it makes me just think the fact that the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts. And what the Bible says is he gives us these gifts for the edification of the body.
Yes, right? Yes.
He doesn't say for the edification of really everyone outside the body.
Yeah.
He's really given us those gifts to be part of the whole body within the church, right?
Yeah,
that we complement each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, and then that's unity.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think if someone's in pain, if someone's hurting, in our body, I know when I get those headache issues, I get when I get those things, like the rest of my body is bothered by it.
Correct.
or what happens is some part of my body, I have to make up for that in another way with another part of my body. So the same thing as one of our members in our community that comes together is hurting and something's going on in their life, is others have to come in and support,
right,
and actually make up for the lack at that moment. And that person at some point will make up for the lack in another person at some point.
Absolutely.
And see, that's where being unified and coming together to say, is recognized back, is this is God's community. This is God's people. I can't think of it now, but basically, it's God's. And if it's God's, we better care for it like he would want us to care for it. And the people are God's people, and we need to see them as that. Back to the very, not just outside the church, but within the church community,
right,
too.
And that's how we glorify him, right? It's like, how does my actions glorify him?
Yeah, yeah.
Or how do my bad actions not glorify him?
Yes.
And maybe I should not be doing those types of things, right? Because we all do this not for, again, from our own prideful thing.
Yeah.
It's for his glory, right? We meet on Sunday mornings for his glory.
Yep.
We meet during the week for his Bible studies for his glory.
Yep.
We're meeting today, hopefully, for his glory, right? All other things are just a waste of time.
Yeah, and even as you... As a church community starts to move in this direction, like you're trying to help the church see how God has placed that community there for a purpose bigger than themselves, just to get together on Sunday morning.
Right.
And doing that is sometimes churches can get carried away with lots of different activities, and it's everything's divided and it's almost like separate silos around, and everybody's, there's only certain people helping with this thing and this thing here, and the basic, you know, is coming back to, is like, what does God want us to do?
Right.
What does God want us as a people to be? And it's pairing back to like, okay, God, we just want to follow you, not just as individuals, but as a community. And it's so important that that community has a heart for the main thing God's doing, and being willing and ready as a community to shift and move as God directs them. I mean, when you got all these different activities that are like, we got to do this, we've always done this, and we get, you know, and having we've got our energies divided, we're just not being efficient, and where God's like, what's this is what I want you to do, right. And do this well.
Right.
So you got something like you
should. Yeah. That just reminded me of part of the study from last night is one of the things that God is most concerned of is being is more important than doing.
Yeah.
So sometimes his particular assignment for this particular time or season might be different from last year's assignment or, you know, season, right? So. And what you just mentioned, oh, well, we've always done this. Well, maybe that's over with.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for a new doing, right? So
yeah.
So you have to let some things go in order to move forward, right?
Yep.
And how do we move forward with the new assignment is that being.
Yep.
Just being in his presence, being in his time, being just being sometimes is way more important than try to start doing the whole thing. Wait till you get his assignment, and then you start doing his assignment in this season.
Yeah, right? And it goes back to the foundation of this. It's not just as individuals, but as community relationship with God. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're individually relating to him, having a relationship, but the community as a whole is. And they're as a community, prayerful, waiting on God, discerning God's voice. Oh, this is what I get sense God's doing. Yeah, I do. I feel as I get a sense of the same thing.
Right.
And this is a scripture I was reading. It fits right with that. And then you start to see. You see these different parts. You're discerning, oh, we as a church, that's what God's wanting us to do. And you respond as a church. And instead of just oh, I didn't think I got a good idea. Let's do this. No, let's do that. No, let's do this. No, let's spend time in prayer and waiting on God, seeking him, and then respond with God, joining him in his work, because his work lasts forever. It's eternal.
Right.
Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. He does it. It's because it's not us. It's him, and it lasts forever. What we do on our own, it's done when we're done, and that's not good.
And when we're just being. And I just, again, last night, it was a good point. One of the women brought up that last week, she had been talking to my wife about the potter and the clay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was something that was on her heart, and she wanted to share it with my wife. And so she was talking about that. And then when we got to our study that night, that was kind of the major part of what we were talking about. So it was this confirmation from God for her. Like, so again, she experienced God in this moment because she was sensitive enough to listen.
Yeah.
And then when we gathered together as a community, that was part of the conversation without her bringing it up. Like, it was just part of the conversation. And so for her, that was, like, again, super exciting, right? This confirmation that, wow, God really works and hears us and already has things already going on. And so that's how we can be sensitive to what he says.
Yeah. Well, we've come to a point we probably should close 30 minutes, 33 minutes or so.
Oh, wow, already,
It flew right by.
Okay.
And so we thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode today. We're going to have another one, which will probably be the final one. We'll have some questions we've come up with that I think people would be asking, and just to answer them and talk about those and get kind of like a summary of everything we've talked about. And so please join us next week for that episode also. Till then, well, actually, if you want to find out more information about the podcast, is you can go to kingdomlivingnow.org and find information there. And if you have any comments you want to leave, you can leave them there on the episodes that you listen to. And until next week, God bless.